This is our number
two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. So I was just looking through my Twitter feed to see if there was anything interesting. And this might be my favorite story of the day. Headline: dog accidentally runs half marathon after being let out to pee. Finishes seventh. And they have a bunch of pictures. It's a Ludovine is a 2.5-year-old bloodhound. And all of these people had been training for months and months for this grueling 13.5-mile marathon. It was the Elkmont Trackless Half Marathon in Canada. And the owners, right about the start of the race, they let the bloodhound out to go to the bathroom. He crawled under the garden fence, ran toward the start line, and they say the rest is history. Only six humans finished ahead of the bloodhound in the race, even though Ludovine stopped at the 2-mile point to sniff a dead rabbit.
Oh, that's too good.
The dog went off track on a number of occasions, including the moment he played with a herd of cows, but that didn't stop him from securing...
Where was this?
Canada.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
It didn't stop him from securing a respectable position, crossing the line in just over an hour and a half. And on this half marathon's Facebook page, they have a bunch of pictures of Ludovine running close to the other humans. And they ended up giving Ludovine a medal for her efforts.
A category of her own, though.
Yeah. The owner said, all I did was open the door. She ran the race on her own accord. My first reaction was that I was embarrassed and worried she had possibly gotten in the way. But she's laid back and friendly. She looks like those bloodhounds. If I ever get to a point in life where I learn how to whittle, I would like that someday. Because one time, my wife and I, we were down in, this was before we were married. We went to Florida. Separate rooms, of course. But we went to Florida, and it was a really fun trip. But we went to the Everglades State Park. I think I've told the story before. As we're coming out, because we had just seen, we'd done a ranger walk, which is the greatest value in America. National Park ranger walks, because they are so passionate and they just add so much to any national park visit. But they had shown us the alligators and how they, you know, they're prehistoric creatures. Mm-hmm. They haven't evolved 1 second in a million years, and their brains are the size of a pea, and they can jump 6 feet out of the water. They can run 15 miles an hour. You don't want to mess around with them. So we're driving out of Everglades State Park, and we see a hand-painted sign on a tree that says airboat rides.
Oh, we did that when we were there.
So we start going down this real sketchy dirt road, and then every, you know, couple hundred yards, we'd see another hand-painted sign nailed to a tree. You're almost there, Y-E-R. And then we finally get in there, and there's a trailer, and there's grandpa sitting on the porch of the trailer, the double wide, and he had a bloodhound at his feet, and he was actually whittling. And we
talk about a piece of Americana.
It was. And we went up and talked to him. We said, you do the airboat rides? And he goes, my grandsons do. And he called them over, and they take us out on an airboat, and they brought marshmallows and dog food to lure the alligators out of the mud walls that they make in the side of the swamp. And they would come right up to the boat. Yeah. You've done that?
Oh, yeah. You know, and you're within inches of them. And, you know, they...
Yes.
They don't look as colorful as they do, like, in the cartoons and such. No. I mean, when you're just looking and go, they're really ugly.
Yeah, and they are
pretty strong. And look really mean.
And you're sitting in an airboat on water level. So I grabbed right in front of me. And, you know, there's no regulation. These guys were just a couple of hillbillies. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I love hillbillies.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I grabbed a screwdriver that was sitting on the floor at my feet.
You thinking that would help?
If the alligator attacks, I can plunge it into its skull or something.
Oh, boy.
But anyway, that's what I think of when I see a bloodhound. And someday, if I learn how to whittle, I'm going to get me a bloodhound.
And, you know, I just want to be clear. This was a headline from 4 years ago. So it happened a few years ago.
It's August 20th. Oh, no, it was August of last year.
No. That's when this article came out, but if you look at the date on the photos, it's from 2016.
Well, then why'd you have to ruin this?
Sorry, I didn't want fake news. I didn't want people out there thinking it just happened.
Yeah. And I hadn't even seen it. Now. So this is the first time I heard it, but
it's a cool story. Yeah. It just popped up in your headlines. It's not fake news or anything, but it was a while ago.
Wow. Okay. I guess forget everything I just said.
Well, okay. Your story still holds.
Next up in the Fastest 15. So we talk a lot this week and over the years about the wussification of America. And I think in many cases, our public schools contribute mightily to that. And so now we have another example. I heard this in your bottom of the hour newscast, Ursula. So a few days ago, we had a story about a Delta flight that it was going from Los Angeles to Shanghai,
right.
Had to turn around, make an emergency landing back in L.A., but you can't land with a belly full of fuel, so they had to dump some of their jet fuel, and some of it went over a schoolyard in California. And some of the kids were treated for some minor skin irritation. But now we find out that celebrity lawyer Gloria Allred, she is filing a lawsuit on behalf of some of the teachers.
Yeah, four of them.
Who were scared when the jet fuel came down. Here's one of the teachers, and she explains why she was so scared.
I began feeling a light drizzle on my hair, my face, my body. I thought it was rain. And then I caught the scent of fuel. I started yelling for my students to come back inside the building. I didn't know where the smell was coming from. I thought, oh my God, it must be a terrorist attack.
Oh, for crying out loud. This person is not emotionally healthy enough to teach other people's kids because she can't even handle her own life. So she thought, oh, it's fuel, it's a terrorist attack. And then she found out quickly thereafter that no, it was an airplane dumping fuel. And now she's so emotionally fragile that she has to file a lawsuit because she was scared. This is just insane.
Well, I understand.
My head began to hurt and I started feeling nauseous. I couldn't smell anything other than gas. I couldn't taste anything other than gas.
Why is she crying 3 days later?
What? Because she has Gloria Allred.
Yeah.
That's the first. That was the first sign to me that, okay, I understand being scared at that moment.
I do too.
And then you get checked out, and then the kids get checked out. If you're fine, they're fine. I don't think anyone even was hospitalized.
So then I get back to my point. So she should be immediately fired from her job as a school teacher because she's too emotionally fragile to lead other people's kids. And if this is who is molding our next generation, you know, we talk about the fragility of so many people who are in college these days and in their 20s, maybe it's because they are in part raised by people like this who have to file bogus lawsuits for something that was nothing. Here is celebrity attorney Gloria Allred.
Had the Delta pilot notified air traffic personnel of the need to dump fuel, the flight would have been directed by air traffic control to a location and to an altitude from which fuel could be released without danger to the teachers, the students, and others at the school.
And I do agree with that, because apparently now, since the story, you know, was a couple of days ago this thing happened, they have found out that the pilot did say initially, no, I don't need to dump fuel, and then it happened, and the air traffic controllers had no clue.
And it does sound like a mistake.
It does sound like the pilots should face some sort of ramification.
And I'm fine with that too. If they should be punished,
right.
If they violated some kind of regulation or standard. But was anybody physically injured?
I believe there was no one who went to the to the hospital at that time. The day we reported it, it was like, okay, they all got checked out. They had to have, you know, hazmat crews there. Fire crews treated 60 people for minor injuries.
Yeah, but nobody was physically injured.
This lady is claiming the next day she went into the emergency room because she was having breathing issues.
Well, I'm sure she was because she saw a lawsuit because she saw Delta Airlines emblazoned on the side of that airplane. But that's just insane. Gloria
Allred. Well, and then to go right to Gloria Allred.
Yeah, she's ridiculous.
Unaware of the dangers posed by the Delta plane above them, and while instructing children on the playground, the plaintiffs in our lawsuit, who were teachers at the school, were coated with jet fuel dumped from Flight 89. The plaintiffs could feel the fuel on their clothes, their flesh, their eyes, and their skin. Fuel penetrated their mouths and noses as well, producing a lasting and severe irritation.
Lasting? This happened, what, 2 days ago? 3 days ago?
Yeah, Tuesday.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, 3 days ago. So we don't know anything about lasting. It's another ridiculous lawsuit by another ambulance chaser who is Gloria Allred. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15... I just want to recommend people go to my Twitter. I don't know how to tell this story. It's all visual. But I would love for everybody to see this because I watched a video. There was a Pro-Am PGA tournament yesterday. And one of the guys who was playing, he got a hole in one. And I was watching it and I realized that my face muscles were stretched from smiling, mm-hmm. which hardly ever happens when I'm just sitting by myself.
Yeah.
But this is phenomenal. This guy, he's in his 60s. He was born without a right arm.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of has a little stump right about where his elbow would be on his right arm. But he started golfing and playing a bunch of other sports. He was a catcher in baseball. There was a major league pitcher who only had one hand named Jim Abbott, which was phenomenal.
For sure.
He would tuck the glove under his stump of an arm, and then he would throw the pitch, and on his follow-through, he would put his hand in the glove, and just amazing that he's pitching in the major leagues. But anyway, this guy's a one-armed golfer, and with just his left hand, he has the smoothest swing, mm-hmm. and he just strokes the ball, lands on the green, rolls about 20 feet right into the cup. And it is the most joyous thing.
I did see your tweet, and everyone should look at it. And I'm actually going to share it with my dad. I mean, it is beautiful. My dad, I think you know that
yes.
he recently had his leg amputated, and he is 88, and he is just learning how to walk again with a prosthetic leg.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just show him that because, you know, right now it's really hard.
Yeah.
And it's very discouraging.
I can understand. But man, this guy, go check it out. Twitter at Dori Monson, DoriMonson. Up next in the Fastest 15, this baseball cheating scandal.
It's getting worse and worse.
I tell you what, last night I was just absolutely, I spent 2 hours looking at everything that I could. But there's this one guy on Twitter, goes by Jom Boy. And back in November, he was the one who uncovered this Astros cheating scandal. So what they did was they had a camera trained on the catcher who was flashing signals to the pitcher. Fastball, curveball, changeup. And if it was a fastball, they wouldn't do anything. If it was an off-speed pitch, they had a garbage can in the Astros dugout, and they would take a bat and bang, bang on the garbage can. And so the hitter would know, okay, this is an off-speed pitch. The Astros won the World Series a couple of years ago. One of the guys on their team, Cora, became the manager of the Boston Red Sox. They won a World Series.
Like brother of Joey Cora.
Yes. And then Carlos Beltran, he was a player who's kind of the ringleader of sending these cheating signals. And he just became the manager of the New York Mets. He just got fired yesterday without ever managing a game. The Red Sox manager got fired. The Houston manager and general manager both have been fired after being given a 1-year suspension. And now there's video that they may have worn buzzers on their skin. And this guy had found a bunch of videos where one of the guys hit a home run, game-winning home run, and his teammates were coming to mob him. And as he's coming down from third base to home, he's waving his finger at him, saying, "Don't tear off my shirt. Don't tear off my shirt." Oh. And now they're thinking it's because he had a buzzer underneath it. There's one celebratory video where you can see a guy who's clearly got a what looks like an electronic device taped to his skin. He's wearing
it's horrible.
It is a scandal of unimaginable proportions. There was the Black Sox scandal in 1919, where the Chicago White Sox had, I think, seven players who threw World Series games for gamblers, and they were permanently banned from baseball. This should be close, because it.
And how do you know that it doesn't happen with other teams?
I mean, it probably does. And baseball's now saying, okay, we might have to remove all television monitors, all electronics from the dugouts. We might have to have a monitor who sits in the dugout with every team to make sure that they're not cheating. And it's just so disgusting that in a world where, you know, you have these incredible physical skills and contests should be decided by who is best, and then
and
you
you're
have,
paid so much. Why do you have to cheat?
Yeah.
And aren't you shocked
disgusting.
That it took this long to come out? Because, you know, guys get traded. I'm surprised. There's got to be hundreds of guys that are involved in this cheating.
Yes.
And they've been bouncing around the league for years, and nobody has let this out until now.
No, and they've known. Major League Baseball apparently has known about this for a couple of years, but they didn't want to have another scandal on their hands because they're just trying to recover from the steroid scandal, which, you know, has fundamentally ruined one of the most important things about baseball, and that's its history. When I was a kid, I knew that Babe Ruth hit 60 home runs, Roger Maris broke it with 61. I knew that Ruth had 714 and Hank Aaron broke it with 755. I have no idea what the single season home run record is. I have no idea what the career home run record is, because Barry Bonds was cartoonishly juiced up, and the numbers don't mean anything. And so the stuff that fascinated me as a kid, which was comparing baseball statistics of the past to, you know, the 70s when I was such a huge fan, kids today cannot do that because the numbers don't mean anything because of the steroid scandal. And if baseball doesn't have its history, because it's a very slow-paced, it's not an exciting game by today's standards, you don't have your history. Now you find out teams are cheating to win championships. And it's a pretty dark day for Major League Baseball. It's a really dark day.
Apparently all our listeners have the same sense of humor. And we got multiple texts that say, rest assured, the Mariners haven't cheated.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Yeah,
we know that for sure.
Have been the cheaties and not the cheaters. And that is your Fastest 50.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Okay, coming up next, we've got a bunch of other stuff from the campaign trail, but also the Super Bowl anthem singer has been announced. We'll tell you more next. Oh, there's a story in the LA Times today. The NFL has announced who will be singing the national anthem at the Super Bowl. And they say, is that really a good idea? It's going to be this gal. I just kind of like this song. It came out a couple years ago. This was my summer jam. So pathetic to hear a 58-year-old guy say something was his summer jam.
Why?
That's pathetic.
Why?
And plus,
you can have a jam. I'm just surprised it's Demi.
It's not like I can personally relate to the song because I'm not capable of being a part of what the song is talking about.
I have no idea what the song is even talking about. I just listen to the music. I barely ever listen to the words.
She's curious. She's curious.
About?
About
sexuality?
Women.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. And see, I'm curious about women. I'm baffled by women, as a matter of fact.
You're surrounded by women.
Anyway, but they say that since she has been in self-care mode, and this is the LA Times, they said she's been in self-care mode since a 2018 overdose, and the pressure of the national anthem is so great, the LA Times thinks this is a bad idea for somebody who's trying to get their life back in order.
She has one of the most incredible voices I've heard, you know, amongst the young talent.
Yeah, let's listen to a little more of her voice here. Wait, is there stuff in there we can't play?
Yeah, there is eventually. So that's why I had Sean fade it.
Good one.
See, that's why I can't really relate to the song. Because I probably couldn't do whatever it is we can't
hear. Trust me on this, though. She has a beautiful voice.
Yeah.
But she has also been very open about her struggles with depression.
Yeah, yeah. I've been thinking, if I get myself, after I get my knee replacement, I found an online application, and I'm going to see if I can, on her 2021 tour, I want to be one of her backup dancers.
Oh, that would be entertaining.
That's what I'm hoping for. So then, in this LA Times story, they run down some of the other most notable Super Bowl anthems, and they say the all-time worst was in 2011, Christina Aguilera. And for a variety of reasons, but they say that she jumbled the lyrics right at the beginning of the song.
Oh, I remember that.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light?
I can already tell it's painful to go back. I remember it at the time now.
What's so proud? Had the twilight's last gleaming.
When does she jumble the lyrics? She's gotten them all right so far, I think.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight.
Perilous what?
Yeah, there it is.
Pite? Through the perilous pite? The perilous pipe.
What so proudly we watched at the twilight.
Now that's all wrong, too, isn't it?
Right, yes.
Okay, that's Christina Aguilera. She's considered the worst Super Bowl anthem of all time.
I think she, because she's another one with a phenomenal voice, but I think she spent too much time trying to add extra notes. That song is difficult enough and powerful enough. Just sing it straight.
But she kind of sings in this part of her. Why does she bring her tone up into her back of her throat like that, too? The greatest national anthem of all time, I saw this one live. Somehow, for reasons that still baffle me to this day, Tony Ventrella and I talked management at King 5 into sending us to the 1991 Super Bowl in Tampa between the New York Giants and the Buffalo Bills. It made no sense for a Seattle TV station to go cover the Super Bowl. But Tony and I thought it would be fun.
Sure.
And management had rivers of money.
There's a big audience even in Seattle watching that, and they're going to tune in after it to see you guys.
Yeah, that was a different era.
And you guys were hilarious.
That was a different era in Seattle television.
There's a little more money.
Oh, money was the hallways were paved with gold back then. But this one, it was so emotional because the Gulf War had just started. My wife and I had just had our first baby. The Gulf War had just started, and there were all these travel advisories, the first Gulf War. There were all of these travel advisories, and my wife was nervous that I was going to be flying to Tampa, sure, about as far as you can possibly go. Got a newborn at home, military action, and Whitney Houston comes out. We only had one seat inside the stadium. I don't know why they didn't give King 5 two seats inside. But Tony and I got to go in for the first half, and then Tony went in and watched the second half. And so I was there when Whitney Houston just killed it. And this is what you're talking about. Just sing the song.
Because she's your powerful, beautiful voice.
And this is back when her voice was just incredible. And then they did a military flyover right at the end.
It's almost like a high beat flying.
Oh, I still get goosebumps.
I do, too.
And then right then, they had the military flyover. And that was one of the most incredible live performances I've ever seen in my life. So that's what Demi Lovato is up against. By the way, you know what they did in the early Super Bowls?
What?
Here was Super Bowl VII, which would have been early 70s.
And now to honor America, let's join the little angels in the singing of our national anthem.
It's like these, I don't know, they look like they might be kindergarten first graders from the Little Angels of Chicago Holy Angels Church. Plus, listen to the pacing. They're just going to fly through it. How adorable is that?
That is too cute.
That's what they used to do. Now we get Demi Lovato. Okay. All right, lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Presidential campaign trail among the Democrats. I mentioned yesterday the Democrats are in an all-out panic, especially after that debate. And it's not just me saying that. CNN, MSNBC, they both said that there's nobody running, nobody in that debate the other night who can beat Donald Trump. And the entire party's in a panic. Elizabeth Warren is in particular panic mode because her numbers are plummeting. And her numbers are plummeting because I said about when Jay Inslee was running for president, I said that the more people hear Jay Inslee, the more apathetic they become about Jay Inslee. They just don't care about him. There was nothing that he ever said or did that made anyone in America care one bit about Jay Inslee. And that's why in every poll, he was at 0%, because he couldn't create any buzz. Apathy is what Jay Inslee inspires. Elizabeth Warren is very different. The more people hear Elizabeth Warren, the more they cannot stand her. And now that she's been on the campaign trail for a few months, even Democrats cannot stand her tone, her attitude. And I'll give you a perfect example. So here's the new line that she used on the campaign trail. But you use it one time, okay, because it's not even that great a line. But when you use it over and over again, you just sound like an unlikable robot.
You know, I mentioned my three older brothers. One is a Democrat. Do the math, right? Two or not?
Okay, and just the way, do the math. Just everything about that was so calculated and not appealing.
Do the math, right? Two or not? And there are things we sharply disagree on. There are things that can take us from zero to all shouting at each other.
Okay, tell us more.
In about 4.2 seconds. Right? Remember I mentioned the boys, my three older brothers? One is a Democrat. Do the math, okay? Yes, our Thanksgivings are like that, too.
Let me start this back in Oklahoma with my three brothers. You know, I said I have three brothers. I'm very close to my brothers. One of my brothers is a Democrat. Do the math.
That is so annoying. And she even has this, do the math. I mean, listen to this one, the one I just played for you here.
Do the math.
To the one I played a little bit earlier.
Do the math.
Oh, that is just cringe-inducing. So that's the difference between Elizabeth Warren. The more people heard Jay Inslee, the more apathetic they were. The more they hear Elizabeth Warren, the more they can't stand her. Now, there are still some people who like her. But for the majority, I'm just giving you an analysis of the country as a whole. The more they hear her, the more they can't stand her. So they're in a panic about Liz Warren. They're in a panic about Bernie. But Liz Warren lied, said Bernie said a woman can't win. Nobody believes Liz Warren because she lies about being Native American. She lies about her kids going to private school, public school. She lies about everything. So nobody believes that what she says Bernie Sanders said. But Bernie's got his own problems. This guy, Kyle Jurek, who is a self-described communist. He's Bernie's field project organizer.
What would you kind of consider yourself, like, where on that spectrum?
I'm an anarcho-communist. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm as far to the left as you can possibly get.
I'm an anarcho-communist. He also said that if Bernie doesn't get the nomination at the convention in Milwaukee...
Bernie doesn't get the nomination. It goes to the second round at the DNC convention.
Bleeping Milwaukee will burn. So you got a communist who is threatening rioting if Bernie doesn't win, who is a top field staffer for Bernie Sanders. That doesn't play well. A communist who's going to firebomb cities? And then you have Liz Warren. Do the math. They're in a panic. They might be stuck with Joe. Big Lead 2 next.